I gotta figure out what I did here. Okay, I'm gonna have our ushers go ahead and take the time, just we'll do at the beginning here, and pass out our faith promise cards. Tonight is our, kind of works out pretty good in terms of the fact that we have been studying money together. We've been looking at the lengthiest passage in the Bible that has to do with giving, and we've been looking at that aspect of things. And so we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this evening. I want to just kind of give us a little bit of an overview of what we have looked at. And then we'll kind of use that as our launching point to get into our faith promise and lay down the groundwork and the biblical principles on which we're operating. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In terms of review, a little bit we've looked at in the past in chapter 8 is this aspect that we saw that there were some poor churches in Macedonia that were willing to give above and beyond their own capacity to give. And God called this the grace of God at work in their lives. And they were giving on a mission that they wanted to take up a collection for the poor in Jerusalem because two ramifications of that, two reasons why Paul, at least there was an aspect of they were being persecuted, they were being, their finances were being confiscated, so there was heavy persecution in the Jewish territories because they were turning their back on Judaism, and so more so than it was in the Gentiles, but it was also an aspect of because salvation came through the Jews, it was good and right for those Gentiles who received the gospel to give to them. And so that's part of Paul's thought as well. So they were going to take up this love offering for them. And they gave generously, they gave joyfully, even though they were very poor and in great trouble. And so there's an aspect to which they had a great desire to be a part of Paul's ministry because they had given themselves first of all to the Lord. Then Paul wanted the Corinthians in verses 7 and on, he talked about how he wanted them to demonstrate their love for God by giving. And the greatest example is the Lord Jesus Christ, who became poor so that we could become rich. And so that really becomes the framework on which we make all of our decisions. So he basically gave some principles. He said it's time to action, it's time to give. You've desired to do it in the past. But he told them to give proportionally. In 1 Corinthians, he mentioned, as the Lord hath prospered you. And give to those who have genuine needs. And so we've looked at those aspects. And then the last time we were looking at this passage, which seemed like a really long time ago, before Christmas actually, he told them that he was sending a delegation of proven men who were coming, and they were led by Titus. And so there were three different men, and we kind of looked at their qualifications and the responsibility with which they had and operated. And so now, as we begin and pick up in chapter 9, there's some aspects that I want to get down to verses 6, 7, and 8 so that we can just look through some principles of giving tonight. But I kind of want to catch us up in terms of everything he's talking about. And he says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, that's the gift of giving to those that were in Jerusalem, it is superfluous for me to write to you. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying, I don't need to exhort you to give. And I think there's an aspect to which I feel the very same way as a pastor. I get up here and I say some words, you know, blah, 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 blah. Here's our missionary. Please give to him. But I say that with the absolute confidence that I never go back to the inn and talk to Don and say, all right, how much are we going to give to the missionary? And we have. Man, I can't remember the last time we've ever had to add something extra to it to make it a generous gift. Sometimes it's more like, really? Wow, that was amazing. We've had four different missionaries here, and you guys we as a church have given $5,000 to these missionaries over and above our giving, and we're not doing poorly financially this month, and it's really neat to see. I stand up here and say, I don't need to preach about giving. I don't need to preach about giving to faith promise. There's an aspect, that's the way the Apostle Paul felt to them. He had confidence in them. But he didn't shut down there. He actually goes on. He said, I don't need to write to you, but I did. And so we will. He says, I know the forwardness of your mind. Now, that word forwardness is really an old English word that we don't use in that way in any way, but that has the idea of zeal. That has the idea of inclination. And so he's basically saying, I know that you're willing to give. And in fact, he says, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia, that's where the Corinthians are at, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So he's saying, you know what? I was boasting. Now, when the Apostle Paul used the word boast, we know that he's not meaning a prideful boast. He's meaning a glorifying in the Lord. He's excited about the grace of God that's being worked in those people. And he's talking about them. And he said, you know what? When I was there a whole year ago, they were excited. They were ready to give to this project. And in fact, as he explained to them, they're genuine. He wasn't just building this up and saying stuff that weren't true. He was talking about the genuine experience he had with the Corinthian believers, and their zeal actually motivated and inspired the Macedonians. So it's interesting. The Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians about the Macedonians, and their zeal is what helped motivate them to do what was right. It's really beautiful. And so there's this aspect of he wants them to understand this, but he says, I have sent, verse 3, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, empty in this behalf. That is, as I said, ye may be ready. So Paul had sent a small delegation of these three men, Titus and two others, highly qualified, to encourage them in the work to help organize the giving so that they would be ready when they came. And so they were to prepare the way. And verse 4 says, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So basically what he's saying there is, Paul's boast in the grace of the Lord towards them would really appear pretty hollow if they showed up, and part of this is letting them know, hey, I'm coming. And the delegation that is there to receive the gifts, we're coming. And so he's like, I want you to be ready and prepared because I've been talking about your willingness, and if I show up on you and catch you off guard and you're not even ready and prepared, that's going to look bad upon the Lord. And he says, I'm going to be ashamed. And it's interesting that he says that, and that we say not ye. That's a very, the Apostle Paul was, I don't know how to say it, what the right word is. He was a very skilled communicator. He wasn't crafty in any way. That's not what we're talking about. He just was saying, I would be ashamed, and I'm not even going to mention how embarrassed you would be if we showed up and you were unprepared, and it'd be like, and so there's an aspect he really is mentioning that how embarrassed that they would be. And so then he's encouraging, he says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you. So they're going, preparing the way, and make up beforehand your bounty whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not of covetousness. So what the Apostle Paul says, you know what, I wanted to give you time. I wanted to give you preparation because I wanted you to be able of your own free will, of your own desire to prepare something that would be, this word bounty is the idea of blessing. But the reason why I think the translators have translated this word bounty is going to come very clear because he's going to use that word in chapter 6. And so it's going to come back around. But so catch on to that word. But the idea of bounty, we won't think of that term, but he says, you put it together as a free will gift to be a blessing to these people. And he says, not as covetousness, meaning we didn't show up and all of a sudden you felt like, oh, somebody's here, they just want money. And there's this kind of aspect of greediness. You feel pressured because someone's there and they're got their hand stuck out to you, and like, oh, okay, fine. And he says, I don't want you to be under that kind of constraint. So there's an aspect to which we can take some applications just from these words that we've seen in just preparation for this. You know, it's interesting. He says, if they showed up unawares and he dropped in on them and they were not ready to give, what is the experience that they would have? They would feel shame. But there's another aspect to which the Lord tells us that we need to be constantly ready. Because if we're not ready for this event, what would we might feel like? Shame, right? What is that? That's the second coming of the Lord. My children, walk in Him. But when you be found of Him, you will have confidence in Him and not be ashamed at His coming. So there's an aspect to what I want us to think in terms of this. The Apostle Paul is not coming to our church, but Jesus Christ is. When He comes back to this earth, or when you stand before Him, are you going to be ashamed at your participation in missions? And your giving? Are you going to be confident, saying, man, I know that I followed the Lord. I gave as much as I could to help the Lord's work. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in terms of what we should look at. But let's look at the principles that we have in terms of giving. am I behind? I'm behind. All right. Sorry. Keep looking at the wrong slide. So that was the last point. All right, here we go. Principles of giving. First one is, but I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know what? My garden did terrible last year. Absolutely terrible. I didn't have any cucumbers. I did not have any watermelons. I did not have any broccoli. I didn't have any lettuce. All I had was some measly tomatoes. You know what I planted? I only planted tomatoes. pretty sad, isn't it? You feel you've already pat me on the back. Probably maybe this year. Do better next year. Well, there the drought would have taken them all out. So anyway, I'm not too sad about it. We're gonna try to do better this year. The Bible says, let's take a principle that you know well. I know this better in terms of grass seed. And I've done this without in South Carolina, and I've done a little bit here. I tell you, grass is hard to grow. If you want a nice, pretty yard, nice green, I just love that look. That's some places it's near impossible. And I try year after year after year, and there's an aspect of you learn. He says, if you want to see this grass grow up, you better be bountiful. And you get out there and you just open that little setting on there. It says 1 to 15. You just open it all the way up to 15. You go, and you just, when you can't even see the dirt after I'm done putting down the seed. I'm going to fill it up. But there's an aspect, he says, if you want something, if you want to receive sparingly, then you'll sow sparingly. This word bountifully here is this aspect of the blessing. If you're willing to give out a blessing, this aspect of reaping really comes in. Has this idea of you ought to, what do you do when you plant a garden? What do you do when you throw out grass seed? You look to see what's happening. You're anticipating something yet to come. There's an aspect when you give to the Lord, whether it be in tithes and offerings, or whether you give to someone in need, or you give to missions, there's an expectation. Not that we have this one-for-one aspect that, you know, if I give this check off to the Lord, the seed you sow shall surely grow. Now I'm going to get that Ferrari in my garage that I've always wanted. No, we're not talking about a materialistic pursuing wealth through this aspect, but we're just talking about trusting God, anticipating that He is going to work and He's going to move. And God says, He uses the word for blessing. Do you know blessing is not simply a monetary term? But he takes the monetary gift and says, hey guys, I want you to get together and put your blessing together. Because if you sow that blessing off to someone else, God will bless you. Does that mean God's going to give you money back? Maybe. God will supply your need. He may give some. I've seen that in my own experience. Give money to somebody, money comes right in. Like, whoa. It's amazing. God takes care of it. But God does so much more than money. Everything that you desire, I mean deep down in your desire, if you're over 12, well, probably maybe 15, maybe 18, I don't know. Can't be bought with money. What you pray for and you get on your knees before God, it's not about money most of the time. Unless you're talking about feeding your kids. But what you care about is you need God for so much more. So don't be stingy towards God. So the first aspect is we ought to be as generous as we possibly can be. And that is a spirit of faith. The second principle is this idea of the priesthood of the believer. No, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We're good Baptists, right? That means I don't need someone else to go and pray for me. I can go directly to the Lord. This aspect in giving, you don't need someone else to tell you. You're supposed to communicate with Almighty God, and He's going to work in your heart and show you what you are to give. No looking over our shoulder, well, what's so-and-so doing? What's going on over here? This is between you and God. And He says, verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. It's interesting. If you'll notice, the so let him give is all in italics. That means that's a helpful aspect in terms of translation to let you know that those words are not in the original. They supplied it to help us understand. You could just as easily say, so let him sow, using the verb that came from the verse right before it. So, all right, as the Lord purposes in your heart, so, give. This aspect of giving in faith, not grudgingly or of necessity. What's this understanding of grudging? This idea of grudging has the idea of sorrowing. You give that money in the offering plate and you're like, oh, I could have bought something else. I could have done more with that. Oh man, there goes my Lego set. Oh, man, I didn't want to have to do that. He says that's not what the Lord wants. That's not what He was looking for. This aspect of necessity means you're like, oh, man, I got caught in a corner, and there's no way out of the situation, and I'm going to lose face if I'm not generous. So, of course, I'm a generous person. Yes, I'd be glad to help you out. And you're kind of caught between the rock and the hard place, and you just got to give. He says, I didn't want you to feel that way. That's why I sent these messengers on ahead, so you could have time to think, time to pray, time to plan, and you and the Lord could communicate, and God could lay the burden on your heart, and you could give voluntarily, according to your own heart, as joyfully a blessing unto God. That's what He wanted. He says, because God loves a cheerful giver. I think most preachers point this out, that the word, the Greek word is literally hilarios, where we get from our hilarity, this idea of excitement, laughter, great desire. It's interesting that in the Greek word, though, as we think of this connection to English, the Greek word is actually connected with the word to propitiate. That word propitiate means to take someone who's angry at you and to make them not angry. But it's interesting, I never quite thought of the word. It's not just merely propitiate, is not simply take away the wrath, but it's actually to make someone favorably disposed towards you. So this aspect of you are so excited, so joyful, it's not like you don't want to, you want to give. This aspect that I feel towards my children. Man, I just, there's an aspect, I just want to make them happy. I want to say yes. I want to give to them. That's the heart that God wants in us when we participate in giving. You say, what would make us think that way? Well, we're going to give some more principles along those lines, but he's going to give some reasons for why we can just be hilarious, joyful givers, even though we are giving sacrificially and above and beyond what we think we could even possibly do. And the third principle we can look at in closing here is verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I tried to summarize that and say, God is able to fully provide for you all that you need for everything in every circumstance, by all means, at all times. It's aspect of, it's just, how many words of all? How many aspects of abound? There's an interesting aspect that this abounding, he's saying God is able. This is a word that's focusing on what attribute of God? God has the power. Don't doubt your omnipotent God. When it comes to your finances, God is able to make, and it's beyond our finance, but he's saying, make all grace. And that's how he describes about this giving, that you're giving to them was the grace of God working your life. He says, God can give you all grace to motivate you in every good thing. And he says, I want you, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. This word abound is the aspect of some of these young kids when they got that Kool-Aid out of the thing. I mean, they filled that thing up and kept up and up, and they wanted so much of it, they got it right to the brim, and they're walking back, and it's just sloshing over. Oh, man. But that's what God's saying. God says, God can just make it overabound and flow, and you can't handle the grace of God toward you. It's more than you need. And when God gives you more than what you need, you know what you have? You have sufficiency. It's sufficient. It's good. That you might have all sufficiency in all things. What? So that you may abound. You got to get the picture. When you're giving to the Lord, this ought to be what is going on. When you put that money, or you pledge that aspect, or you give to someone who's in need, it ought not be that you're like, I've got to squeeze it out of me. It ought to be, oh, yes. It's flowing over and above and beyond. Not because I'm wealthy and rich, but because the grace of God is overflowing into me. You know what? That's the difference between burnout. Burnout is when you're trying to serve and do something for God and you're relying on your own resources and you're just like a spent toothpaste. I mean, you just get in there and you just kind of... And you start to squish it and squish it. How many of you just throw it away? How many of you guys throw it away? All right. How many of you guys stick to the bitter end? All right, y'all, there we go. And you just squish it and squish it until that last little bit and whoop, you got that and boom, you're good. Teeth aren't very clean, but y'all know the use of it. No. That's burnout, where you're trying to squeeze it out of yourself and you're trying to minister. What God wants from us is overflow. Overflow ministry is not hard. It's not grievous. Because we're receiving from the Lord. And we're just so full, it just starts spilling out. We can't help but talk about what God's doing in our life. We can't help but talk about the Word. We're so excited about what God's doing in foreign nations, how God is getting the gospel out, what God's done in the past, that you just can't wait to be a part of it today. That's overflow. And God says you can overflow and abound to every good work. But simply put, you can say, you can do everything God wants you to do. And so there's an aspect to which we do, and you've gotten those cards and things, and What we've done is we're putting a box in the back table. If you're ready tonight, you've already prayed about it. Like myself, I've filled mine out. I've asked the Lord what He wants to do. I'm excited about participating in it. I'm joyful. And there's an aspect of, if you're ready to do that, you can fill that out. We're going to base our faith promise missions and giving for our missionaries in this upcoming year. If you need a little bit of time, we'll take a few more weeks before we tabulate everything else, and then we'll plan. And we'll budget our missionaries' giving and things, and that'll determine whether we take on, we've got several missionaries that we might take on. And it'll determine by what the Lord lays upon your heart. There's an aspect of, it's just amazing to see what God is doing all across the world. You think, God, is God working in Islamic countries? More than we know. Is God working in those closed up countries like China? Hard to get into? There's an aspect, the last time things got closed up, they multiplied 100-fold. There's an aspect when things get dark and things get, you know, there's an aspect God is moving and God is working and He's saving souls and we can be a part. And God tells us that if we'll sow, we shall reap. May God help us and bless us as we give towards missionaries in this new year. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us everything that I need to serve You, that Your love is sufficient, Your grace is sufficient. And Father, we need nothing else but You. Father, I pray that us as a people, as a church, that we would lay up treasures in heaven by giving to the works of missions, advancing the gospel message all around the globe. And Father, I pray that we might have the capacity and the ability through the generosity, Lord, of Your people to take on more works, to go forward in a dark and evil day. And may we be found faithful. May we not be ashamed when You come. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. You are dismissed.